Isaiah chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. All righty. Bible says, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted in it the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, and he cut out a wine press as well. And he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Mm-mm-mm. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? He says, now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. And then he says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel and the men of Judah. This is the garden of his delight. When he looked for justice, he found bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but he found cries of distress. Lord, we thank you for the work that you do in us. Lord, we thank you that you are a hedge of protection. Lord, we thank you for the rain that comes, brings provision for us. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed at work in our lives, shaping and molding us that we can conform to your purpose and plan for our lives. I thank you that we are here this morning and we put a focus and attention upon you, that you would come in and you would do a mighty work among us, Lord. We pray for those who are distracted. We pray for those who have lost focus. Lord, we pray your Spirit guide and direct them, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Talking about the vineyard. Talking about the vineyard of the Lord. And I know a little something about grapes. When I was 15, 16, and 17 years old, and I'd always worked on the farm, but 15, 16, and 17, I worked in grapes. I had a better tractor than that. And you can tell, I'm much more handsome than that guy that's driving there. I was younger, and I would work the whole summer in grapes in Northern California, just outside of Fresno. They get up to be 110, 115 years old. It was hot. And the heat made the grapes, and water made grapes. And my whole job was about getting water to the grapes. And we would water the grapes, and the ground would get real hard. And the water would just kind of pool on top of it. So we would break up the ground. We'd thing called the vibra shank. It was like a great big claw you put behind the tractor, and you'd yank it behind the tractor, and it would crunch up all the ground, break it up. And then the next day I would come with a set of discs, great big kind of metal plates, and it would come, and it would leave that dirt so fine and so smooth. And I would drag railroad irons behind the disc. You have to throw them off. They're heavy as all get out. And they would drag in that dirt, and they would make a berm about this wide down the middle. It's about, I don't know, 12 feet wide going between those grapes. And so there would be like little channels going down each side of the row. And then we would water. And the water and dirt would get all hard and crunchy and come back and vibra-shake it and plow it and water it and vibra-shake it and do that all summer. And we had a whole crew. We had irrigators, and we had guys that were dealing with the weeds, and we had mechanics that would fix the trucks and the plows and the vibra shanks and all that kind of stuff. And the whole team had one focus, grapes. Everybody, the whole team came together that come in October, come late August, that we would start picking those grapes. And it's, the Lord talks about his vineyard. He talks about his team. And his team would have a focus on fruit. Amen? We're in a series called The Path to the Cross. And Jesus talks about the vineyard. He is indeed headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you know what happens there, that is where Judas leads the high priest's guard and they arrest our Lord. And so as he moves from Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was probably walking by or even walking through some vineyards. And he talks about this teaching of, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, this is a modern vineyard, and the vineyard that Jesus was walking through didn't look like this, but it gives you an idea. And he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and we are focused on fruit. And through this imagery, Jesus is talking to us and speaking of our relationship with the Lord, speaking of our relationship with one another, and speaking of our relationship with the world. Now, Jesus laying a foundation for impact in the lives of his disciples. He is looking beyond the cross. He is looking beyond the resurrection, and he is talking about a group of people, or wanting to create a group of people that we will call the church, who will have an impact in the culture and the life around them for the kingdom of God. There will be indeed a focus that would change the world. He likens this impact to a vineyard producing fruit. And that's what God wants from us. God talks about our lives, our actions, our behavior, but he also describes the behavior of God, that God is active in our lives. And for many of us, that is a, this will be a correction in some improper teaching that we have received, because for many of us, we think that God is kind of like Santa, and that his job is to hang out in heaven just trying to dream up ways that he can bless us. Ever heard that? That's God's job, to answer prayer. Snap two. We talked about Mary and Martha. Hey, Lazarus is sick. Come quick. Hop two. We want a God that we can create in our image. Am I talking to anybody here? Yeah. God, that's your job. You know, for to me, God should do this. And for me, God should do that. If God's not going to do that, well, I don't need him. You ever heard that? I've heard that. There's some people who sit out there, maybe think that. God didn't wake me up early enough this morning. Well, I'm going to watch March Madness or some basketball, whatever. Now, Jesus describes a father who's paying attention. He's removing dead weight. He's cutting back on distractions. And in a society that is completely and totally focused on more, sometimes God gives us less. Watch out. Talk today about finding fruit, and I hope you got some. All right. We're going to spend our time in John chapter 15. If you put your finger in your Bible, you got your electric Bible. I don't know how to change the channel on that, but you can flip over in your Bible. I know how to do paper. Yeah, it's easy. But Jesus is talking about the church. We read the first four verses of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off. Would you say cut off? He cuts off Maybe if you got paper, you might want to just line that part out. Say, I never heard that part before. A lot of people line that out. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Got fruit? If you don't, watch out. See, we don't hear that a lot. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You ladies ever prune a rose bush? Prune a something? Men prune a tree? There you go, Carlos. We're going there. Now, you know, at the end of pruning, you see a bunch of branches laying on the ground. Watch out. All right. He prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. He says, he's talking to his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And just like in Isaiah, so in John chapter 15, and so in the church today, heaven is looking for fruit on the branches. Kingdom of God, Father God, everybody who's lined up. You're a friend of Jesus today. Your focus should be on fruit. Why? Because that's what heaven's looking for. Are you tracking with me? See, God gives you new life. How many of you have received new life from the Lord? How many of you have come from the pit of despair and you are calling like me saying, oh, God, just save me? Anybody? Yeah. And he says, I'll save you. But I'm looking for a return. I'm looking for fruit. Because I have invested the blood of my son who hung on a cross in you. And I want to see a change. I want to see some fruit. And in fact, Jesus says, if you have no fruit, God will remove you. Well, that's rather shocking. You know, we see people gone from the church. And my wonderful wife will say, oh, what could we have done? Where did we fall short? And sometimes it's just God taking them away. That's the word, amen, right there? You know, you're cutting them off, getting rid of them. Some people just playing around in the family of God, not around long. Many of you thinking today, hey, I got some fruit. Hallelujah. I want to let you know that God is actively at work in your life, getting rid of some of the distractions that are pulling back on your fruit. Wow. I didn't expect so much affirmation there. Everybody kind of going, whoa. Say, well, why do you do that? Well, being that I've worked in vineyards a lot, what you do is in the spring, you cut everything back when everything's dead. Otherwise, you have these massive, massive vines with all kinds of branches and all kinds of leaves and a little bit of fruit. Because what happens is all the strength of the root, all the strength of the vine goes to supporting wood rather than growing fruit. And the problem with many of us is we got a lot of wood, but not so much fruit. Can I get a witness on that? So a question for you. Is it okay with you if God comes into your life and removes a little bit of fluff? Some of you might mean your cell phones will be gone. And you think, God would never take my cell phone. I think God needs to turn some cell phones off right now. I know. I'm looking at my Bible. Oh, no. You ain't looking at your Bible. God does a cleaning in our lives so that we can have more fruit. Right? Whatever you're doing for the Lord, sorry, tomorrow he wants more. More focus, more attention. Now, he says, as Carlos had mentioned, I clean and I prune myself. He says to his disciples, my words have cleaned you. And that's what that word means, pruning, cleaning. You spend some time in the Word, the Holy Spirit will pierce your heart, touch you, and show you where you need to do a little cleaning, where you got a little distraction, where there's a little fluff, where there's a little too much wood, not enough fruit. See, you can do it, or he can do it. But either way, if you're in him, it's going to get done. Amen? Because the friends of Jesus are focused on fruit. Amen? Let's take a look and continue on. Verses 5 through 8. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. We don't even want to go there, do we? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And Jesus says, your fruit comes from your connection to me. And I want you to notice, as we read this, there is a progression. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's what our Lord is looking for. He says, when you are connected to the vine, you're going to have some fruit. And you ask yourself, well, what's fruit? Well, one of the fruits that we're going to be taking a look at today is prayer. And not just asking, but receiving. Because when you are connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, with this dynamic connection, that you will also be connected to the power of the kingdom of God. And it will be released in your life. And so he says, this is what you're going to see when you're connected to me. Can I get a witness on that? Now, you're thinking, well, I can ask for anything? Is this a blank check? He says, if you're not connected, you're not going to have anything. You're not going to have fruit. You're going to just wither off, burned up. That fire, that eternal fire, just waiting. Hey, you can ask Jesus for anything, and you get it. Just remember that what you ask for is going to be tempered by that active, dynamic connection to him. I'm never going to go to my wife and ask her if she can hook me up with a date with a different woman. Amen? I've never thought of doing that. But it's crazy, some of the stuff we pray for and think we're going to get a yes from God on. He goes, yeah, ask for anything for my Father's glory. You know what? It's a bit of a stretch to think a Cadillac or a Mercedes is going to glorify God. Now, it might, but it's a slim little percentage of all the prayers that go up there. Really, yeah, that's what you need to glorify me, a Cadillac.
See, the friends of Jesus are focused on fruit.
Prayed this morning for Mauricio. His wife and I and him, Bible says, two or three are gathered. If you agree on anything, you have it. We prayed that God would glorify himself in Mauricio with a complete healing. That Parkinson's disease is assailing him. Hallelujah. Now, praying according to his will and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we talk about prayer. I pray a lot. I pray a lot. In fact, Jorge asked me to pray for his family at greeting time. I said, I've already prayed for your family today. In fact, I've already prayed for your family today twice. I said, what do you want me to pray for? He says, oh, that's good. Twice is good. Because, you know, oftentimes, I don't know what to pray for. I'll tell you. A lot of you say, praying. Sometimes I'll just send you one word on a text message, praying. And I get back a little thing, thank you, Pastor. And you know, I know some of the stuff that's going on in your life, but I don't know everything. And so when I pray for you, I just kind of lift you up before the throne room of God. Bugs household, their family, children, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of like I'm just lifting up a branch. You know, Lord, I don't know what's going on in this family, with this individual, with this situation, Lord, but you do. But I'm just lifting them up, Lord, and I'm just drawing your attention to them. And you know, Jesus tells us here, I mean, this is not the whole Bible, but he tells us there's two responses. There's cutting off that branch. Lord, here's this family. And he's looking for it. So there's cutting off and there's pruning. And he says, oh, there's a little bit of distraction going on, FM. Let me just got real quiet here. You know, I'm going to start sending out those texts, praying, and family's going to say, no, you don't need to pray for us, Pastor. We kind of got a little love of fluff. But the friends of Jesus are focused on fruit. Amen? All right, let's continue on. We will move to verses 9 through 15, and she's going to give us more description of fruit, kind of like a whole fruit basket coming your way. Pay attention. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. That's the same word, remain in me, same word. In fact, that same word is used 10 times. See, remain or abide, depending on what translation. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you. I like that. That Jesus looked down from heaven and see Bob Metz, and he goes, I am joyful in that guy. Fruit. Amen? Oh, I want him to have joy in me, my family, my kids. You want that? Amen. Look down and say, there's my boy Dave. I got joy in him. Hallelujah. He says, oh, I was reading the wrong one. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. That sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Greater love has this than no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, the first type of fruit we're going to talk about today is love. And we are to abide in Jesus' love, and we are to display that love. And you can think, oh, how nice and warm and fuzzy and loving. I just kind of want to go to church. Yeah. Now, Jesus tells us that if we are going to remain in his love, it's not going to be with flowers. Not going to be with chocolate. Not going to be with a little heart-shaped balloon. that we remain in his love through obedience. Yes. You think, what? I kind of like that picture. Yeah, that's a problem. We all got our own picture. He says, you want to abide in my love? It's the same way you're going to abide in me. It's going to take effort. Now, there are those who will tell you that the fruit of your connection with Christ is just a natural consequence of abiding in him. You're going to bear fruit just like an apple tree makes apples. How hard does an apple tree have to work to make apples? I got no clue. Never been an apple tree. Took a lot of work for them grapevines to make grapes. Jesus says, let me tell you about the kind of love that I'm talking about. The greatest measure of the love that I'm talking about is sacrifice. And I got to let you know that nowhere does sacrifice just pop out of a relationship. Sacrifice is a result of effort. Amen? So we got a basket of fruit here. Love, joy, obedience, and sacrifice. Now, you can kind of work on that left side. I'm going to take the love, I'm going to take the joy. But you can't get there without obedience and sacrifice. And you want to know if you're getting there, you will have answered prayer. You will have the supernatural power of God being released in your life. Got some? Got more? Got a lot? That's what God is looking for. Ask you on that, on this list, depending on which screen you're looking at, what do you got the most of? Say, oh man, I'm Mr. Joy. You hang around with me, you'll know. That's what they call me in my house, Mr. Joy. My wife's laughing. We call her Mrs. Humor. Where are you strongest? And where are you weakest? If you got anything on that list, I got good news. You know what you can expect? Pruning. Because if you got any of that, God wants you to have more for his glory. Amen? But that's okay. Because the friends of Jesus are focused on fruit. I hope you are. Let's continue on, verses 14 through 17. Are we okay? Are we freaking anybody out here? Some of you guys checked out when I said cut off. What? I'm going down to the store. Get me some apples. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. That word there is doulos for slave. Because a slave does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And whatever you ask in my Father's name, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, that you would love one another. Friends of Jesus are focused on fruit, and the friends of Jesus get to choose what they're grabbing onto. It says, if you're his friends, you got fruit and you got obedience. Slaves are obedient because they have to be. They got no option. It is expected of a slave to do what they're told to do. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Don't freak anybody out here. Slavery. His friends are a whole different setup. He says, if you're my friend, you get to choose. I will show you the plan and the purpose and the focus of God, and you will have the opportunity to choose to participate or choose to sit in church and look at your phone. That's your fruit. Got no fruit. Whole lot of cutting going on. Amen? Friends are obedient because they choose to be. Now, Jesus selects who gets the opportunity. John chapter 14, one chapter back, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I tell you what, we get picked and we can start to celebrate. They had the March Madness celebration. Now everybody gets picked. Woo, yay! Bible tells us that when one comes out, one gets saved, all the angels are celebrating. Amen? And we can stop right there and we can just start to celebrate as well. But Jesus says, that's not the time to stop. That's the time to start. That's the time to start and make fruit. Jesus lets us in on the plans of the kingdom. Kingdom is looking for fruit. Got some? Friends of Jesus, they're focused on fruit. It's been a rough couple days for JJ and I. We've been batching it. Have to cook our own food. JJ got lucky. His mom brought him some food. I just watched him eating it. Didn't offer me any. In fact, I kid you not, he went to go see his dad and brought this big old tray of food in there, and he said, don't eat that food. And it gets rough when you're batching it. But my wife went up to a woman's conference, here, Kay Arthur, up in Marietta. And she was able to meet Kay Arthur. She met Joe's girlfriend's mom, who was involved with some of the leadership there, and met with Kay Arthur and talked about you guys and talked about our prayer meeting. And she was so excited. Maybe you saw my wife's email or Facebook. A picture of her. Anybody see that picture of her and Kay Arthur? I thought, oh, man, I should have copied that, and I could just put it up there right now. You know, my wife went up there, talked about our prayer meeting, talked about you. And this woman who goes around and speaks to thousands and thousands and thousands showed great interest. Send me a copy of that picture. Send me your name. I want you to talk to my assistant. I want to be able to remember this. There's a common focus there. When you're part of the family of God, we get that focus. And that focus on fruit. Amen? All right. All right. Problem with fruit. Last thing I got for you, we finish up chapter 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. It's like, why do you got to go there, Pastor? Been talking about fruit, love, joy. Talk about obedience. Okay, sacrifice. Okay. Now we got to talk about hatred. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They treat you, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Problem with fruit, world doesn't like it. Remember the context. Jesus is heading to Gethsemane. Jesus is heading to the cross. The religious structure of the day, the Jews, the head of the Jewish religion, has been plotting how they can arrest him and kill him. They will use the Romans to accomplish the crucifixion. Now, I want to let you know that the Romans and the Jews have almost nothing in common, but they connect on the crucifixion of Christ. John talks about the world. The world is the Romans. The world is the Jews. The world is anybody who is not connected to God. Oftentimes, the world's only connection is their disconnect with God. And Jesus calls us out of all that to make a connection with him. And because of our connection with him, the world hates us. If you're going to connect with him, you've got to disconnect from all this stuff, from the world. James says, chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? See, that's where the pruning starts. Cutting the world out of our lives. You can embrace that, or you can fight it. Grabbing in all kinds of more stuff, all kinds of more fluff. But the friends of God, they're focused on fruit. I hope you are. Last thing. Verses 22 to 25. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen his miracles, seen his works, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. It is the presence of Jesus that makes the world guilty. And that is the biggest problem of them all. Jesus calls them sinners. And because they don't want to be sinners, they do everything that they can to do away with Jesus and do away with his standard. Because if they can do away with his standard, then they are no longer guilty of sin. Can I get a witness on that? You see, in our culture, they take away what? They take away Jesus' miracles. He was a great teacher. But that's it. See, the miracles that John presents, seven miracles, are intended as a proof that he is indeed God the Son. That he came to die on a cross. And you see, that's the biggest miracle of them all. The cross and the resurrection. And we're going to celebrate that resurrection in 2 weeks. And they would do away with it all if they could, because they don't want to be guilty. And because he makes them guilty, he hates them. He offers them love, and they hate him for it. Fruit is a challenge. Friends of Jesus are focused on fruit. Lisa, you want to come up? Question for you this morning. What are you focused on? Friends of Jesus are focused on fruit. That's the list. Got that? Focused on that. Maybe you don't know. Well, what are you planning on doing this afternoon? What'd you do yesterday? That'll tell you. 2-day slice of your life. Focused on fruit, focused on the world. Focused on fruit, focused on fun. Because if you got none of this, you got no connection with Christ. If you got none of this, you won't be here very long. God will cut you right out. And we'll wonder, where'd they go? Because we won't know. Most of you in here have some of this. Most of you have more of this than you did last year. God's doing a work in you. Pruning you. Fluff. Stuff. Distractions. Pruning it away. We cut off the branches, we would burn everything up. Stuff in your life, keeping you from fruit. Are you good with God pruning the stuff out of your life? Some of you are so busy adding stuff in. I got this. I got that. I'm going this way. I'm going that way. What about the fruit? Oh, I got no time for fruit. I got time for fluff. Pruned or cut? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, the Lord's been just speaking to you and says, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And you're sitting there going, man, I know I got to dump that stuff. I got to dump this thing. I got to dump that thing. Because it's getting in the way of my fruit. He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoke to you. Some of you in here, he's speaking to your hearts right now. That new project, dump it. That new activity, dump it. That old activity, man, it's been around too long. Dump it. I got something new for you. I got fruit. I want to prune you. Lord, we come to you this morning, celebrating. Celebrating your work in our lives. Celebrating your work among us. Look around this morning, a lot of cutting off going on. No fruit, not going to be around. Maybe you are here this morning, and the Lord Jesus is speaking right to your heart, saying, you got no fruit, but I choose you for eternal life. That you might bear more fruit and much fruit. That you would give up the fluff out of your life. That you would turn to me, put a focus on me, and that you would find fruit.
Yes, Lord.
Nobody's looking around this morning, but the Lord is speaking right to you. And you want to be thrown in the burn pile. Say, Lord, you give me another shot. I will not ignore your voice anymore. Come in. I want to change my focus in my life, my attention to you, and what I'm doing this afternoon. I want to give you all my afternoons. I want to give you all my last nights, Lord. I want to be made new. Nobody looking around this morning, but the Lord Jesus is speaking right to your heart this morning. He says this morning, I choose you. Now you can choose me this morning. You say, I choose you this morning, Lord. Call me out of darkness into light. Nobody looking around, that's you. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me. Right back here, somebody would say, that is me. Back here, somebody else would say, that's me. Last shot. That's me. Anybody else? You're here this morning. and you got some dead wood, you got some distractions, fluff. The Lord's been trying to prune stuff out of your life. You've been grabbing it and sticking it back on. He's been talking to you this morning about distractions that need to go so that you can put a greater focus on Him. You're here this morning, say, Lord, here I am. Prune me. Cut it all out, Lord. I want to have more fruit. I want to have much fruit. I want to be focused on You. You're here this morning. Say, that's You this morning. Slide your hand up. Say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I'm a willing participant in Your pruning activity in my life. Here, here, here. Anybody else say here? Anybody else say that's, oh, yeah, all over the place, all over the place. We want to know You, Lord, and the power of Your salvation. We want to see the answered prayer. We'll be obedient. We want to see that sacrificial love. Experience Your joy, Lord. Experience Your joy, Lord. We give You praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Worship team's going to sing. Right up here is a pruning zone. Pruning zone right up here. You got some few branches that need to be left out of your life. Put right here on the pruning zone. You can come up and you can leave them here. As we all stand, we're going to sing. Oh, come to the altar. Place to get well. Thank You, Lord.
Oh, yes, if you raised your hand too, let's just take those steps up to the altar and just kind of leave it there. It's where God does His work, kind of seals the deal, so to speak. And that abiding in Him, that means it's about our relationship with Him that makes the fruit. Thank You, Lord.